The Industrial Revolution was characterized by massive growth in markets, labor, and wealth during the centuries it took to go from an agrarian mercantile economy to a fully mechanized industrial economy. During those years, the impact of technology produced significant distortions, sometimes adding to the job force, but then sometimes replacing workers, leading to the strange condition of simultaneous economic growth and job shrinkage. It was fighting those massive job losses that produced the modern labor movement. But the postmodern technology revolution does not have a postmodern organized workforce, and there are signs that economic growth and job decline may be a feature of the next generation's economic reality. Technology consuming the middle class, permanently replacing jobs with machines, software, and apps. But the middle class is also the culture of consumerism, right? The engine driving demand in the world economy. That's what we're told. Something has to give here, yes? Eric Brynjolfsson is a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management. He wrote about this in a book he co-authored called Race Against the Machine. Professor, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, it does seem to me that you can't sustain job losses and economic growth for any length of time. What's the historical precedent and what kinds of distortions are you seeing?
Well, technology has always been creating jobs. It's always been destroying jobs. It's part of our economy. This time's a little different. If you go back to the 1800s, 90% of Americans worked in agriculture. Now it's less than 2%. Of course, all those people didn't become unemployed. Historically, they found new jobs in the auto industry and many other industries that were created. This time, however, the pace of job destruction as digital technologies in particular automate routine tasks is happening a lot faster, and the job creation side of the equation isn't keeping up.
You know, we asked a question to a lot of our listeners yesterday, and we got a lot of responses that suggest a lot of people are feeling pretty confident that they can't be replaced by a software app or a robot or something like that. Let me read you a few of these, and you can assess whether this confidence is well-founded or a bit delusional, okay?
Sure.
All right. Nope, I'm tech support, says Joseph Sharkey in Lincoln, Rhode Island. He can't be replaced, he says. I'm a recruiter. I help to find people for sales and tech jobs. I hope I'll continue to be needed. Nope, not at all. Not worried, says this listener in Hackensack, New Jersey. My job requires human review and human reporting. No, not really, from Newark, Delaware. Warehouse and customer service will always depend on warm bodies. And here's my favorite. No, I'm an attorney, Northville, Michigan. As long as the practice of law without a license is prohibited, I'll be fine. What do you think of those responses?
Well, I'm glad they feel confident, but and I have to say, when I first started looking into this, I was a little skeptical about the power of technology to automate a lot of jobs. But I've been visiting more and more companies, and even if entire jobs don't get automated, bigger and bigger chunks of them. In fact, every one on that list, I can think of a company that's automating significant parts of it. I mean, tech support, as an example. Call centers, we're already hearing more and more automation in the call centers. IBM brought their Watson computer to MIT last year and had it play against my MIT students. You may recall Watson beat Ken Jennings, the Jeopardy champion,
sure,
last year. Can answer all sorts of questions. Well, they're retooling Watson to handle call center queries, and it's doing a remarkably good job. It's also applying for jobs on Wall Street and getting those, and applying for jobs in medical diagnosis. There are terrific e-discovery tools that are eliminating a lot of the work of sort of routine discovery work that attorneys have been doing, especially at the lower end of the wage scale there. I've been visiting a warehouse where there's remarkable automation of the warehouse. Companies like Kiva have done tremendous things. Amazon's warehouses use these technologies where robots pick and pack the materials and bring them to a human for the final step. So in all these areas, there are remarkable progress. It's happened faster than even I thought would happen. And I'm kind of a digital optimist in terms of the potential of technology to move the economy forward.
So we're speaking, first of all, with Eric Brynjolfsson, who's a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management. And at the risk of terrifying this listener, Asking someone at MIT a question about this sentiment here seems to me to be a way to give this person nightmares forever, but I'll just go ahead, all right?
Sure.
I'm not worried, says this listener from Leonardstown, Maryland. I'm a nanny. When they invent a machine that kisses boo-boos, instills morals, and loves children, then I'll worry. There are folks not far from you that are doing that, right?
Well, there are people at the MIT lab that are working on emotive computing, but I have to say, of the entire list of jobs that you read off, I think hers is probably the most secure. I think she's right that the human touch is something that we're still far from having a really effective machine being able to handle. They're great at routine information processing tasks and increasingly at routine physical tasks. But human interaction is something that we humans still have a big edge in.
Does that insulate the middle class in the sense there'll be greater demand for greater human interaction, that people will be paid to do that? Or does it just mean lots more unemployment? Talk a little bit about this erosion of the middle class as a structural feature of the economy going forward.
Well, it's quite striking when you look at the data. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before. The middle class is actually being hit by far the hardest. There's been job polarization where those routine tasks that make up the bulk of middle class work, you know, that think of a tax preparer that now has to compete with TurboTax or payroll clerks or travel agents, all those types of jobs have really been hit the hardest and have fallen tremendously. There are fewer Americans working now than there were 10 or 15 years ago. And the median wages, the wages of the person right in the middle of the income distribution, is lower now than it was 15 years ago. At the same time, people at the top of the income distribution in the 1% or the 1/10 of 1% have seen their income soar. 60% of the income earned in the past decade has been earned by the people at the top 1%. Interestingly, and perhaps surprisingly, people at the other end of the wage distribution have also held their own to some extent. Gardeners, barbers, people who do physical work that's non-routine, janitors, they've actually done okay. They haven't been automated as quickly as those people in the middle of the income distribution.
Well, so serious
job polarization.
Serious structural changes, that's for sure. Maybe it calls for a rewriting of the social contract altogether. Eric Brynjolfsson is a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management, co-author of Race Against the Machine. Are we racing against the machines eroding the middle class? Thanks, Professor.
It's been a pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.